So thankful. Today, I hope we're going to conclude the message of the Sermon on the Mount. And again, I chuckle because Jesus probably spoke all this in about 25 minutes or 30, and we've been in this for 2 months. But we're going to talk about the narrow and the wide gates connected to the true and false prophets, connected to the true and false prophets and how they do it, and also the wisdom of obeying the Word of God. And he starts out this segment of scripture. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the road and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many enter in it. But small is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and only a few find it. I want to just stop there for just a moment, even though I hate to break up segments of scripture. But I think the statement here gives us, should take us, to have pause to consider what a narrow way is. And in the smorgasbord of religion in our world today, we have so many options that are available to us. We have so many things that we can choose from, things that we enjoy, things that we may like, things that may have nothing to do with worship, with God, with our relationship with Him. But all these things are out here. And I want to suggest this morning that the narrow way is the way that Jesus brings us into relationship with His Father, God. In John, the 14th chapter, it's the words of a Jewish marriage ceremony, and it's probably familiar to every one of you because in the 14th chapter, we use it so often. It says, don't let your hearts be troubled if you believe in God. Believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many rooms. And if it weren't so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And, you know, it goes on the way you know. But I want us to pause here for just a minute in the idea of the narrow gate. When Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, where did he go? I used to think he was going to heaven to prepare that place where I will dwell. But I don't think today that that is a correct understanding of where Jesus went. Because as he was talking to his apostles here, he was preparing them for the day that he would go to the cross and that he would die and be taken from them. And we all know that Peter said, oh, no, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. And Jesus turned and said, get behind me, Satan. Your thoughts are not the thoughts of God, that the thoughts of the world. And so the question then becomes, where did Jesus go to prepare a place for us? Now keep in mind that every one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there is something that needs to be rectified in order for us to have that perfect relationship with God. And he refers to it here in this sermon that there is a narrow way, one way whereby we can have that relationship with God, that we can have fellowship with God, that we can enjoy the fruits of God's goodness to us. I believe when Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, I'm going to the cross so that what I accomplish on that cross will prepare the way for you to be clean before my Father. My body was broken for you. We find that in the communion. And to shed the blood, in Hebrews it tells us that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And so Jesus endured what we call a trial. He endured the false accusations that men accused him of. He allowed his body to be broken for us. And then he allowed himself to be nailed to a tree. But he said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And when he was being laid in the tomb, and all the disciples and everybody thought that this was over, that he was just another flash in the pan, Jesus came back on the third day. If I'm going to prepare a place for you, I'm coming back. And I'm going to receive you into myself. And on the day of Pentecost, when the fruition of what Jesus was talking about came about, when the Holy Spirit came and the apostles began to proclaim the first New Testament gospel message. I believe that that message, that sacrifice, that journey to salvation through Jesus Christ is the narrow road that he talks to us about. I don't know of any other way without forgiveness that we can have a true relationship with God. And I know that I'm a sinful person. I know that I fail almost daily, and that might be one of the grossest understatements of all time, but that I need someone to make a restitution for me. And that narrow way is through Jesus Christ. In Acts, the 4th chapter, the 12th verse, it says that there's no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus Christ. But in the name of religion and in man's desire to build his own kingdom, his own way, we build this broad highway, this interstate that we can travel down and have all the bells and whistles and all the frills. But it says it leads to destruction and many enter through it. What excites you about the narrow way? What is so appalling about the road that leads to destruction? And how do we get there? You know, I don't know of any of us that are born and we just wake up one day and know everything. It just doesn't happen that way, does it? Learning is a process. Learning is something that we apply ourselves to, and then we apply that to our life. We call that knowledge, we call it wisdom. And then we begin to know some things and we learn how to live our lives. But here's what happens to the church. How many of you know the Bible very, very well? And if you don't, I would encourage you to get to know God's word very, very well, because here's what happens. Here's where the crack or the chink in the mortar begins. It says, watch out for false prophets. If they were just telling you a blatant lie, it might be easy to recognize, right? But what if they're subtle? What if they know the scriptures better than we know the scriptures, and they begin to bring things in, false doctrines, false worship practices, all those things that may or may not mean anything. But it says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath they're just ravening wolves. And then he says, if you know your Bible, if you know God's word, by their fruits you will know them. Do you pick grapes from thorn bushes? Do you pick figs from thistles? And he says, every good tree bears good fruit, and every bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree can't bear bad fruit. A bad tree can't bear good fruit. And every bad tree is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire and burned. Thus, by their fruits, you will know them. The problem that we have in modern America is that God's word is readily available to us. That's not a problem. That's not the problem. The problem is, because it's so readily available to us, we see no urgency in being into God's word. But when these false prophets, these false teachers come along and they begin to suggest things that sound, hey, that sounds really, really good. That's a lot easier than the way that I've been taught. That's a lot easier than what I know. So I'm gonna buy into that. And pretty soon we're out in the middle of the forest where there are no roads. A few years ago, I was blessed to go on a fishing trip to Canada. And maybe I've told you this story. I'll probably tell you a million more times this story, because it's one of my favorite life adventures. But we drove to the end of the world, which is Red Lake up in Canada. And then we got on an airplane and we flew for 45 minutes past the end of the world. And the scenery below, everything looked the same. Everything looked the same. There were lakes. There were trees. There were lakes. There were trees. Did I tell you there were lakes and trees? There were thousands of them everywhere. And so I tapped the pilot on the shoulder and I says, how are you going to know where to come pick us up? And he just laughed. That was very reassuring. But we landed on this little lake called McGinnis Lake. And sure enough, when the week was up, he was there to pick us up. But I'm going to tell you what. Everything looked the same in Canada. And if they would have taken me to another lake that was not McGinnis Lake where we were supposed to be, I'd have never known the difference. There might have been different bears. There might have been different moose. There might have been different a lot of things. But I'd never known the difference. And friends, it's important that we know the difference. It's important that we know the truth. Because if we know the truth will set us free, because it'll keep us through knowledge and wisdom from falling into the traps. I don't know. I haven't picked many grapes in my life, but I picked a lot of strawberries. And I know that you don't pick strawberries on thorn or raspberry bushes. I know that on a pear tree, most of the time, unless they've been grafted, you get pears from the pear tree. You get what the tree is. And as a Christian, we should understand what the tree is producing. We should understand what Jesus has done, what Jesus has taught, what the apostles in the name of Jesus have taught us. We should know that. Otherwise, we can fall under the spell of the false prophet. And you know, if we fall under that spell of the false prophet, he may be bearing bad fruit. But guess who else is going to start bearing bad fruit? The person who follows the false prophet. It says, true and false disciples. And Jesus said, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. And they'll say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And in your name, did we not cast out demons? And in your name, did we not perform many miracles? And then I will say, tell them plainly, I didn't know you. Depart from me, you evil doers. How is it that we get from a desire to follow Jesus Christ to a place where Jesus doesn't even know us? He doesn't even recognize us. It's because we don't know how to get through that narrow gate. We don't know who the keeper of the gate is. And then we listen to messages that are tainted by worldliness. And so our trajectory is off already. And then we think we're being very faithful to God, when in reality, we are not being faithful to God, because we have deviated and found ourselves in the broad way, where the truth is not a part of our spiritual journey. And so, and this terrifies me, because just what if I've gotten some of this wrong? What if maybe some of the messages, that's why I try to stick very closely to the scripture, almost verbatim a lot of times, because it's hard to confuse the words of God unless I have some ulterior motive. But true and false disciples, what if I'm a false disciple? And those words are not the words, well done, good and faithful servant. It's depart from me, you workers of iniquity in the King James, or evildoers in the NIV. And the direct correlation is that our foundation's wrong. We haven't walked through the narrow gate. We've done it the way we want to. We've gone as far as we want to. We've shut the doors and walled ourselves up within our comfort zone of our relationship with God. And unless we break out of that and do it God's way, the whole way, all in, all surrendered, totally His, we've missed the narrow way. And he closes this sermon after giving us all of these, this valuable information, this divine teaching, this Sermon on the Mount. He closes it like this. Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the man who built his house on the rock. And the rains came and the streams rose and the wind began to blow and beat against the house. But the house stood because its foundation was on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and do not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Said the rains came, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. This morning, in the conclusion of the message on the Sermon on the Mount, the real question that I believe Jesus is answering or asking us is in the question, have you heard the words of Jesus? And are you putting the words of Jesus into practice in your life? Do these words walk off the page into your life and you live them out with every breath that you breathe? Well, I will hate to look in the mirror on this one, because it's so obvious so often by thought processes, by things I think I'm not going to do, and things that are around me, that maybe I haven't built my house completely on the firm foundation. Because there's no part way in. How many of you ever took a bath and just got the warm water in there perfect and you just touch your toe in it and says, well, I've taken my bath? Well, there was a time in my life I wish that were the way it was. But no, it's not until you get in and you wash and you clean yourself that you've actually taken the bath, right? You have to get in the water. You have to be all in to take the bath. And that's what Jesus is telling us here. I've given you all the information you need. I have done everything necessary for you to have a relationship with my Father. The only thing left to be done is for you to decide, are you going to go through the narrow gate? Are you going to do it my way? Because that is absolutely the only way that works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I'm not really sure how to pray because you know how much I miss the mark. But my prayer is that in your patience and your kindness, you will put a desire and allow me to build a desire in my heart to follow you completely, to walk in your narrow way. And I pray that for this body of believers as well. Because although we enjoy each other on this earth, my true heart's desire, and I know your heart's desire, is that we enjoy this fellowship for the eternity that you have prepared for us. So bind us together in your word. Hold us completely close through your word. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.